Bless you all this morning, saints. It's nice to be in the house of the Lord. It's nice to see so many in the house of the Lord this morning. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer this morning and welcome our Lord here. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, you are Lord. Lord, you're Lord of our lives, Lord, and we come before you this morning, Lord, and acknowledge that, Lord Jesus. Lord, and we just welcome you here this morning, Lord, and we just pray that you would come by your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, and minister to each heart, Lord, and to each need this morning. And we bless your name this morning and lift it above every other name, Lord. And every other thought, Lord, we just cast down this morning and look to you, Lord, and look to our precious cross of Calvary, Lord, this morning. And we just pray a blessing upon all those here, Lord, and those that might be listening in as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Shall we just stand and sing this morning? 271, Burdens Now Are Lighter.
Burdens now are lighter. It is such a joy to walk with it. When my journey here is over, I'll set my feet on it.
Are you free this morning? Praise the Lord. And we were just saying, the Lord is good. And he's good all the time. Even if you don't feel his presence there, he's still good. Amen. Let's sing number 258, As I Journey Through the Land.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to my friends in home. Many arrows pierced my soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on through if I must win. Oh, I want to see him
Is there any more items this morning? We have a couple, but there's one from Tokomaru Bay this morning. Possibly. No? Got some shaking heads. Okay, we'll sing a few more and then we have a special item this morning. Let's sing number 68, I've Got a Home in Glory Land.
I've home in glory land that shines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that shines the sun. I've got a glory land that shines the sun.
Tell him, not me, because he's the one who you want to remember you this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's sing Spring Up I Well, and then we'll have Sister Barbara is going to sing an item for us this morning, and then Shirley. And then.
There's a river of life flowing out. Makes the lane to the mind.
Barbara, someone grab the mic if you don't. Thank you. Just as a note, there will be a communion service this afternoon at 1 o'clock. It'll be a short service. And just remember, after the service we'll have luncheon as well, might I add, and the prayer meeting on Tuesday.
We say to the Lord, here am I. You know, so often we sing that song, here am I, Lord. But when he actually speaks to you and gets you to do something that you really didn't have in your mind to do, you wanted the Lord to get you to do something else. Well, here am I. So, in the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise when the storms never darken the sky. Till the storm passes over, till storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the bright peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till
it's come and follow me, but he never said it was going to be easy all the time, did he? Thank you, Sister Shirley and Sister Mill. You'd like to bring your item at this time.
Him like I do. wait one moment, I'll introduce my Lord to you. I'm waiting for my Lord to come and take his children home to be with him forevermore in a heavenly home above. Such love my Lord has shown to me, and he'll do the same for you. And if you wait but for one moment, I'll introduce my Lord to you. I'll introduce you to the friend of mine. His name is Jesus, and he's with me all the time. You'll learn to like him, to love him like I do. Just wait one moment, I'll introduce my Lord to you. Wait one moment, I'll introduce my Lord to you.
Praise the Lord. It's wonderful, isn't he? Someone introduced their Lord to you? Eh? Do you like him? Do you love him like they do? Amen. You come to love him, and we love him because he first loved us, don't we? We're just going to have some prayer requests here, and I'm going to ask Brother Bill to bring them in. May have a greeting. This one here from Brother Pastor Moses. I believe it's in India. Says, please continue to pray for all of us, our ministry, and its dire needs, so that God can perform his mighty works. And that's from Brother Pastor Moses. And there's another one from him as well. Sorry, this is from Brother Nelson. Kindly pray for me. I am in the deep villages testifying the word of the Lord this weekend. One here. Please pray that my prodigal daughter Amy would have a life-changing revelation of Jesus, who he is and who she is in him. And that's from Susan Princip. And we'll just remember this Raymond who's asked for prayer for healing, and let's continue to uplift Israel before the Lord and thank the Lord for many answered prayers. And I'm going to ask Brother Bill if he would ask if there was any more prayer requests, because he's good at that. But is there any unspoken prayer requests that anyone would like to hold before the Lord? Signified by race then. Thank you, Brother Bill.
Sorry, it's on here. Morning up. Okay, have we got any others? Charlie Hoya? Ah, is he unwell? Okay. Anyone else? Can't believe that. Grace, have you got one? Okay, let's just bring them before the Lord, eh? Do you believe he can heal and meet all these needs? Yep, let's just bring it before the Lord, eh? Like that one about the prodigal daughter, bro. We listened to that message twice in our home, just about she was always God's. She was always a daughter. So, Lord, we just come before you now in the mighty name and through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we have confidence in you because you are our all in all, Lord. Lord, you're the giver of life and the sustainer of life. All power, all power, all power belongs to God. And so we just come before you now, Lord, and just lift up these requests before you. Our precious brother Moses, who we don't even know, but he obviously has confidence that we can bring these prayer requests before the throne of the one and only true mighty God to meet his needs for what they have going through in India at the moment. And so that God can perform mighty works amongst those people, and they can know a living God, and a God who cares intimately for them, Lord. Even that fellow who's in the middle, Pastor Nelson, Brother Nelson, who's in the deep villages testifying the word of the Lord. Lord, we know that there's nothing like your word, sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord, just to cut through, Lord. And so, Lord, just some of those people there in those villages, Lord, might have been in bondage for decades, Lord, but you can just cut through with the word of God and just bring truth into their lives. For that precious sister, Susan Principe's daughter, Lord, prodigal daughter, Lord. Lord, sometimes they just have to go through that pig pen, Lord, to come out and know who they truly are, Lord, so that you would reach out, Lord, to her, Lord, that she doesn't have to look at the husks, Lord, and think, oh, gee, I wish I could just have a feed of those pigs' husks. No, Lord, she can feast at your table, Lord Jesus. So pray that you would just bring that to pass, Lord Jesus. Israel, Lord, precious, precious Israel, the apple of your eye, Lord, we just lift it up and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. And we thank you for your mighty testimony in that nation, Lord Jesus. Amen. Truly, truly, they are in the hollow of your hand, Lord. We thank God for all of our answered prayer requests, Lord. And just want to lift up our precious brother Charlie Hoya this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, just reach out and touch him, Lord. Lord, strengthen his body, Lord. Restore him back to good health. He's got such a wonderful testimony. And we thank you for him, Lord. And Lord, I just want to particularly continue to lift up our precious brother up in Ruatoria, Lord, Willie Ngarimu, Lord. He loves you so much. And he's completely at peace, Lord. And Lord, I'm looking to you for supernatural healing in his life, Lord. That the cancer that is in his colon and in his liver, Lord, would just be dealt to by the mighty hand of God. And that there would be an awesome testimony in Ruatoria and right throughout Waiapu Valley and throughout Ngāti Porou, that the one true God that Willie serves and loves cares so much for him that he would heal him. So, Lord Jesus, we're just looking to you. I just pray that my brothers and sisters, we'd be of one accord this morning in praying for that, Lord, and that Willie would be restored back to perfect health, Lord, and be able to minister the gospel amongst our people up the coast. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in Ruatoria yesterday just talking to a group of Christian people at Rauru Marae, and you know the guy who does those beautiful murals around the place? He's one of VC Ngarimu somewhere down by farmlands and all around town, but right throughout the country. He's done a couple up in Ruatoria. In Ruatoria, he's got a huge one on the old butcher shop door. The Lord told him just to write hope, hope. It's all on the big old butcher shop door. Well, I met him yesterday. He's a lovely man. He loves the Lord. Anyway, he said, Bill, I'd love to come up to Hiru Harama and whatever the Lord's got me to paint at your fellow's school paint. And I was just telling him, you know, in our church, we've got all these incredible Kroa Māori. Tatu, Tom, Terifi, Charlie. You know, tell you what, the churches are full of old ladies, but it's great to have old men too in amongst us. I won't put you in that category, bro. But anyway, and they said, well, what's the secret? Well, I couldn't tell them what the secret is, but I do know one thing. It's not a program. There's no program to draw people in. Oh, sorry, Taz, I forgot to put you in that cohort too. But anyway, I thank the Lord, you know, just great to see new faces and just how he's just weaving us together, you know, knitting us together in bonds of love. In him, in Christ Jesus. And I just wanted to share this little scripture. I know I'm not the preacher this morning, but it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. That's a great thing to do, is to have the Lord with us, eh? And was departed from Saul. And that's the other side of the coin. That's a terrible thing if the Lord departs from you. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. I want to just bring that out. He went out and came in before the people, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And so Auntie Ro, who comes here with us sometimes from Ruatoria, I said, what does it say in your Bible? And she says, he was out and about in the community, David, but he behaved himself wisely out and about in the community. And I just really wanted to encourage us this morning, you know, to behave ourselves wisely where we are in Elgin or Kaiti or Whataupoko or what's your fellow's area, Hinawe? Lytton West. Over here in Lytton West. You know, wherever we are, behave ourselves wisely, but he went out and came in before the people. It's no good us just being Christians here, in these four walls. We have to be out and about in the community and rubbing shoulders with the people and loving the people when we come into contact and just asking the Lord to help us, to show us how we can minister God, Christ, to the people that we rub shoulders with. So kia ora te whānau.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll just have a few more songs, and then I'll ask Brother Howard to bring the word this morning. Let's sing More Than Anyone Else.
Anyone else? I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him who suffered for me. Save me, Jesus. I'll pray.
Number 369, I will serve thee because I love thee.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was not. Thank you.
104. Everybody happy. And then all.
That's why we're happy. I want to know my sins are forgiven. But when he comes, I want to be ready. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Sister Lita. Good to see you again. And the dear sister on the side there, she's from Tonga too. Wonderful. Great. God bless you. Nice to have you with us. And any other new ones, may the Lord bless you and all those joining with us around the world. I was talking to a brother yesterday, and from Gisborne, and he said, I said, his name's Howard. when you're coming to church? Oh, I'll do that sometime. He says, I listen to your services on the internet. And he says, I like that Mr. Main, Timmy. And he said, we just really enjoy the music too. It's just so wonderful. So we praise the Lord that there's people that out there that love the Lord. He used to come here many, many years ago. But we just pray the Lord will bless him and his family. Praise the Lord. Who's happy?
Amen.
I just wondered, I just want to be sure you're all happy. And you can be happy in the Lord. The happiness in the Lord is to know, as I said before, that our sins are forgiven, that he's accepted us, not because we're good, sometimes we're bad, but because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. When Jesus died, he took all of your sins. And God bless you, brother. I know you're from Scotland, right? That's right. God bless you. Had nice to see you again and your wife there. And we're just so glad to be a part of the family of God. So I pray that he'll help us this morning to just enter into what he has for us. I wonder if we could just stand for the reading of God's word. Found in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. just for those that don't know, that man was an angel. Angels can come in a man's form. They can come at any moment. And they may visit you. And they'll always have a message for you. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, in other words, the angel couldn't fight against Jacob. We'll get into that. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." That's what the angel said. And he said, "I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." And his descendants are still here today. Hallelujah. "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. May God bless his word, but I also want to read another scripture found. Oh, not at this time, no, later on. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to thee reverently and sincerely as we know how, Lord, knowing you that you love us. You proved you loved us because you laid down your life for us. You took our judgment upon your precious body. You condescended from heaven's glory and took on the form of a servant. You became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, for us. You didn't die for yourself, you died for us. And so, Lord, we really appreciate your goodness to us. We love you exceedingly, Lord. And we just want to serve you better than we have. If we have been a bit slack, I pray you'll forgive us, Lord, and help us to be more on fire with God. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. We come to thy word. We pray, Lord, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will rest upon the word of God, that you'll make it live in my heart and in the hearts of every person here and those listening. We commit this word into thy hands in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So the Lord is good. I like that all the time. So what an incredible story this is. I love the story of Jacob. It's not just a story, it happened. And Jacob, in this situation, was not on a spiritual high. I want you to note that. He was not on a spiritual high. He was dejected, and he was fearful. Because his brother was after him with many soldiers, and are coming to kill him. Now, Jacob wasn't scot-free. He had been a bit of a deceiver, actually. Deceived his father-in-law. Deceived his brother. I think you all are fairly familiar with the story of Jacob. And so he was in a position whereby he was sought after. And his brother was coming to him. So he was very, very, very afraid. And I just want to speak about him this morning. Jacob was just like you and I. He was nothing different. He was just facing the daily tasks of life. But on the inside of the inside, Jacob knew where to go. You see, brother and sister, when things get tough in life and you're not sure what to do, you've got to know where to go. You've got to know where to go. You can't work this up. God puts it in you. God puts a hunger and a thirst in your soul. In your heart burns the Spirit of the living God. It's a very wonderful blessing to have that feeling come over you. And so we see here that he knew where to go. And a lot of people go to the wrong place to find answers. They go to this person, this professional and that professional. There's a lot of professionals out there, by the way. Some of them are not really professional at all. But anyway, and they go to them when they really should go to God. Praise be to the Lord. And there's only one way. There's only one life. And there's only one truth. Do you know who that is? How do you know that? Because he said so. I'm going to read that from John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. There's not two ways, three ways, four ways. He is the one way, the truth. There's not dozens of truths. He is the truth, and he is the life. Who wants life? You've got to go through Jesus Christ. No other way. There's nothing in this world will satisfy you. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. So Jacob knew he had to get to God at all costs. And brother and sister, when God starts moving in your heart, you know you've got to get to God at all costs. No one can put that in you. No one can work it out that in you. It comes by the mercy and grace of God to you. So Jacob, as we're now reading, was alone with God. I like that. He sent everybody away. Even his wife and his children. He left on the other side of the river. So he was getting pretty desperate to get the answers to life, which seemed to be coming at him and climaxing at his murder by his brother, and he thought all these thoughts. It's not a joke, brother and sister. If you know somebody's coming to get you, you want to have the answers. And God is the only way. He's the only truth, and he is the life. Praise be to God. So we see Jacob was all alone, and the Bible says in Genesis 32:24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. You know, saints, we need to get alone with no distractions. I'm not just talking, you know, just you in the room. It's getting rid of, get alone from all the distractions in your mind. You've got to come to God sincerely and honestly and say, Lord, I really need you. And we need a secret place to do business with God. It says in Matthew 6:6, Jesus said this, When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That's a little room, not necessarily a cupboard, but we'd call a closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So God wants to meet with you in secret, alone with him. He doesn't want anyone else coming in there. This is you touching Almighty God, who actually is in this meeting right now. Now, brothers and sisters, you're not way out there beyond the white Milky Way. God is present here. Who believes that? And it's holy. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, no put-ons. Genuineness, honesty, purity of heart, you want to find God. You can't play with God. He sees through that. So that's what we're talking about. He was alone with God. Praise be to God. It says in Isaiah, which is pretty amazing, Isaiah 26:20. I think Jesus probably quoted this. Because a lot of scriptures he quoted from the Old Testament, because it's all the same word. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. You see, brother and sister, the Bible encourages you to get alone with God. You, as I said, you've got to shut off your cell phones and your TVs or whatever you have, and you've got to spend time with God. There's no shortcuts. If you really want to know the Lord when he comes, you've got to spend time with him. Amen. Praise be to God. And that's what Jacob did. He hid in the presence of God. It's a good thing to have support, but in the end, it's you and God alone. In our darkest hour is sometimes the best opportunity for God to speak to you. And with Jacob knowing that his life was in danger, is a very good time when he got desperate for God and for answers. He really just pressed in. He didn't even ask his wife to come along. It's him alone. You've got to go in yourself. You can't take your wife or your husband or your children or the church. It's you and God alone. Praise be to God. So he is feeling pretty weak, pretty hopeless. This is what it's all come to. I've been a little shyster all my life, doing all these things, cheating my father-in-law of his cows and stuff. If you know the story, and stealing the birthright, which actually it actually was his. But he used deception to get it. And brothers and sisters, he was feeling weak. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, God speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect when you are strong. Doesn't say that, does it? My strength is made perfect in weakness. So when you become weak, that's an opportunity for God to bless you and help you. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, he says, Paul, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's quite a revelation, isn't it? It's our weakness that brings. Why? It's because we give up. We can't do it. And God's now, he's quit. So now I can help him. And when we're weak, then he can come and help us and make us strong. Praise the Lord. I just love him. Who loves the Lord here this morning? Just give him praise and thank him. So we see what an incredible revelation his strength is in our weakness. And Jacob was determined to get a hold of God. Brother and sister, I can't put this in you, but you've actually got to get to the place where you're determined to get a hold of God. It's not, oh, well, maybe he'll come to me. No, you go to him. You seek him with all your heart. They that seek after the Lord will find him. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him, the Bible says. So he didn't care if it required an all-night prayer meeting, because the Bible says he fought with the angel all night. His life was in danger and he knew it. And saints, we must understand how vulnerable we are. We all need to get through to God unhindered. We've just got to knock off all the junk, all the things that are holding you back,
All your thoughts, all your reasonings, all your doubts, all your fears have got to go. You've got to get alone with God in the secret place, you and Him, and just lay it out before Him. You don't have to use flash language. Just talk to Him as a friend. Say, Lord, this is a situation. You know what I'm going through. God knows everything about you. He knows every cell in your body. He created you, and He's given you a time on earth, right to the last day. Isn't He a wonderful Lord? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, he wanted to get into the presence of God. And that's what he did. And it's good to have support, as I said before, but really, it comes down to God and you together. So he wrestled with God all night. As I said, sometimes it takes time. Someone says, I prayed last night. I didn't feel the presence of God. How long did you pray for? 10 minutes. Jacob prayed all night. When he knew tomorrow he was going to be murdered, he wanted to get through to God. And brothers and sisters, it's got to be like that because you're going to die one day. If God tarries, you all will die. That's not maybe, you will. So it's really, really important to know the Lord before you die. Because once you die, you have no comeback. Now is the accepted hour. Now is the day of salvation. You've got to get an audience with God yourself. You've got to meet the Lord. You say, I don't know whether I can do it. Yes, you can. Depends how hungry you are. And kick out the distractions. Kick out all the things that will trouble you. Turn your phone off. So why do you say that? Because I get troubled when I'm waiting on the Lord. The phone goes or a message comes through. You can't do that. You've got to be alone with God. Close the door in the closet room. Blessed be His holy name. So we see here what happened. Now you say, well, I'm a child of God. You probably all believe you're a child of God. That's good. But so is Jacob. He was a child of God. No question about it. Jacob had a spiritual birthright given to him by God. He was the firstborn. And the firstborn received the spiritual birthright. It came upon them. And God was watching over that person in a special way. He saw angels descending and ascending. He saw those things. But he knew it was more than seeing angels. He needed God. And brother and sister, maybe he thought he would be blessed right away when the angel came to him. Now listen, brother and sister, when God comes to you, think, oh, he's going to bless me. And from now on, it's going to be wonderful. Listen, you've got to press into God. When you meet the angel, you're going to have to hold on to him. You have to. There's no shortcuts on this. One hour went by. Nothing happened. Out on the hillside, is it night? Across the river. Climbed up the mountain. 2 hours, nothing happened. 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. He waited all night. People can't wait 5 minutes. Wonder why we don't get through to God. Wonder why you don't find God to be a reality in your life. It's because you don't spend the time with Him. The Bible says, thou wilt give Him perfect peace, Brother Bill, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That is a wonderful verse. Thou wilt keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Because you trust in Him. And so we just see that He was there for that time. And He was still praying. And the angel of the Lord stepped down onto the mountain with Him. And wrestled with Him. Now this, you say, how could a man wrestle with an angel? I'll tell you how he wrestled with him. With faith. It wasn't that Jacob was strong. The angel could just wipe him out like that. But he had faith with God. And he believed that God was with him. And he believed He had blessed him. But he wanted the blessing. You know, you can know that you're blessed of God. But I want the blessing. Brother Bill, I want to know He's there. I want Him to be with me. Not say I'm blessed. A lot of people are blessed. But I want to know He's with me. I want to meet the angel. Praise be to God. He was still praying and wrestling till morning. Most of us would have gone to sleep. No. Not when the angel's there. I don't want to go to sleep in the presence of God. My. God's children don't give up. They wait until they be endued with power from on high. You're waiting until He comes. Well, I didn't feel Him when I prayed last night. Well, I didn't feel Him come to me in the morning. What's that got to do with it? Just wait until. Jesus said, when He's taken up, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. That means wait in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. The power of God to come on your life. It's not being a church member, forget it. It's the power of God coming into you. You've all got to have that. Every child of God will have that. If you're going to be in the rapture, you'll be filled with the power of God. Because it's the power of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, is going to change you and take you up into glory. Blessed be His holy name. And so He wrestled. He had such a determination. And God loves persistence. God loves to see that you really want Him. He does. You may have to wait 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You might have to wait all night. But when God sees a persistence, He's going to bless you. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What's fill mean? Not with water. Fill with the Holy Ghost. When you have a persistence, blessed be the name of the Lord. God met some persistent people with you here on earth. I want to read you one here. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And He answered her not a word. Jesus didn't even answer her. So she went home. I didn't feel anything, so I went to bed. No. He didn't answer her, not a word. And His disciples came, besought Him, saying, isn't this interesting, Brother Taz? Send her away, for she crieth after us. She wasn't crying after the disciples. Isn't that amazing? It's written, she crieth after us. She wasn't after them. She wanted the Lord Jesus Christ. She called Him Lord. She wanted Him, thou son of David. That's who she wants. And when you come to God, it's Him you want. Not the preacher, not the people. Christ alone. Hallelujah. But He answered and said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. Hey, this lady meant business. She wasn't doing showing off in front of the people. Her daughter was possessed of a devil. She had a great need. She bowed down and said, Lord, help me. And He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, which he had quoted, and cast it to dogs. What would you do if you came, Lord, help me, and He says, I don't look after dogs? Oh, well, if that's the way it is, I'm on my way. Not her. This is a very outstanding lady. And in her dwelt faith in Christ alone. She fired back at Him. She was so sharp. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hallelujah. Wasn't that wonderful? He couldn't answer that one. He said, I don't give it to dogs. But she said, the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, and you're the master, and I want to eat the crumbs from you. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, it was her faith. She had a Jacob faith. She was not going to give up. Praise be to God. Now, Hosea, the prophet said this, Hosea 12, 4, 2 to 4. And the Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, even right when he's in his mother's womb, he's doing tricks. But for the right purpose. And by his strength, he had power with God. And our sermon today is having power with God. He had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Oh, brothers and sisters. This determination is in every child of God, Brother Harold. It's in every one of them. You can't take it out. God put it in there. You're born with it. Praise be to the name of the Lord. I just love that. I like this story that Jesus gave us too. Found in Luke 18:1, talking about determination. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means go to sleep. When you're praying, don't go to sleep on the job. If you can't stop going to sleep, stand on your feet. A brother told me that in England once, Brother Younger. I said, oh, sometimes I feel I want to go to, I keep falling asleep. He said, stand up, walk around praying. It works. It really does. And so Jesus said, men always ought always to pray and not to faint. saying there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. I have a case. I want you to handle this case because I have an enemy. And he would not for a while. But afterwards she said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because of this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, that's you and I, his children, which cry day and night unto him, day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Maybe he doesn't answer you straight away, but don't quit. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, that's just about now. This is the age of the coming of the Lord. We all know that. Shall he find faith on the earth? See, the power that Jacob had with God was his faith in God. Thank you, Lord. We need to trouble God with our desperate needs. For he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to find that scripture in Hebrews 11:6. And so we see, continue with Luke again, 18:5. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God always avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? Though there be a silence in your prayer room, though there be not an answer to your prayer, pray again. Prevailing faith will cause a response from God. It will happen. But he wants to see if you really want him or not. Do you really want the Lord? Who wants the Lord? Well, see how you pray tonight. That'll be a good test. It's not when we raise a hand in church. It's how determined we are in our hearts to wait on him. For he wants to hear from you. Sometimes you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I did the other night. It's a really good time to pray. God's woken you up. I said, I want to hear from you. Get out of bed and pray. Slip down onto the floor and pray. It's really wonderful to do that. Like the woman of Canaan, she got Jesus' attention. That's killing her, killing Jesus, to say to that woman, why are you troubling me? I've come to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. But she prevailed with God. She said, Lord, help me. She had such a love for God. And when he tried to put her off, it's not meat for me to give meat to the dogs, children's bread to the dogs. She said, yea, Lord, I am a dog. When you realize you're a dog, you can humble yourself before God and say, Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That got Jesus right there. It was killing him to put her off because he knew, as we said late, saw later, great faith. He knew that woman had faith. And God knows when you're pressing into him. He knew Jacob had faith too on the mountain, fighting with the angel all night, prayer meeting. He waited. Just so wonderful. Jacob would not let the angel go until the blessing came. In Genesis 32:26, and he said, the angel, let me go. Let me go now. For the day breaketh, the sun's starting to come up. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You've got to be desperate for God. Not playing around. Oh, I'm going to have a little prayer time. Have a little cushion. I'm going to kneel on it. That's okay having a cushion. But you know, you can have all it all set out and go through the forms of prayer, but your heart is not craving for him. You've got to be craving for God. Who believes you've got to be craving? If you want a blessing this morning, you've got to crave for it. You'll never get it from me, but you will from him. That's how it is, brother and sister. That's how it is. I just find I've just got to really get down to business. If I want a blessing from the Lord, I've got to really crave for him. I'm not going to let thee go. The angel says, I want to get away now. It's the sun's coming up. I want to get away. Jacob said, no way. Hold on to you by faith. I'm sick of being a church member. I want to be a son of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. The angel said, oh, he's a bit different than normal. He knew he could not prevail against Jacob because there was real faith there. Brother and sister, this is not a story. This is reality. It helps, works in our life every day. Who wants to be really blessed of God? You really hunger for it. You'll never get it from me. I want it too. But you will from him. Because Lord, the Lord loves a person that's hungry for God. The bride of Christ will be a dedicated person. Completely committed to Christ, not to the world. And the things of the world. Jacob had to hold on. And Jacob was not planning to let God go. When you get into the presence of God, don't you leave it. Kick out all the distractions. You know, brother and sister, I know what I'm speaking of. You've just got to be all in for him. Don't be distracted with your silly thoughts. Not bad thoughts, but just silly thoughts. The cares of this life, Jesus said. Distracting the word, and you become unfruitful. Jacob was desperate to receive the blessing like the woman we spoke about. He was desperate. I can't come off this mountain without receiving a blessing. Got to face a wild brother and all the soldiers. It was more than that, though. He wanted to meet the Lord. The Bible says in Genesis 32:25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's against Jacob, the angel touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, this is an important point. And he said, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. I tell you, I don't care what country is trying to prevail against Israel, forget it. They have an inbuilt desire to be in the land that God has given them. And nobody's going to push them out. And there he is here, that Israel. For as a prince, this is so beautiful. The angel said to him, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, brother and sister, we all can have that. It's a spiritual truth for every believer. If you really believe, you can have power with God and with men. The Bible says there in verse 29, and he blessed him there. He got his blessing. Oh, hallelujah. He was different by the bill. He got his blessing. Wonderful Savior. Who loves the Lord? I love him too. He caused a response from the Lord when he saw his persistence. You'll get a response from God when he sees your persistence. You're not just being religious. You're not just a churchy person. You want Almighty God. People go to churches because they enjoy church, and that's okay. They enjoy the fellowship and the music and the singing and all. But I want the Christ to come and live in me and manifest his glory through my life. So we know how a man can prevail with God is by his faith in God. And his persistent faith to receive that vital blessing. Jacob got God's attention. It's amazing, isn't it? He had an audience with an angel. You know how big an angel is? How powerful an angel is? You can annihilate this world tomorrow. One angel. The power of God is upon them. But this little man, Jacob, he got him and he wasn't going to let him go. And you get a hold of the angel, you get a hold of God, sister. Don't you let him go. Don't you let the church talk you out of it. Don't you let people talk you out of it. Your family talk you out of it. You say, I want him. Who wants the Lord? I want all of God that has for me. Praise be to God. Until we receive that vital blessing, some give up. God won't bless me. No, saints, press in. Prevail with God until he touches you. So how do I know? Ha, you will know. When God touches your life, Brother Peter, you know it's God. And so does everybody else. It does. You know what happened to Jacob? When God touched him, his joint hip went out. He walked around in a humble way. Because he'd been in the presence of God. It was a mark on his life that the angel had touched him. You say, oh, how come? Oh, God does that. When on the day of Pentecost, the saints were seeking God, as Jesus said to. And he filled them all with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they acted like drunk men. And the Spirit of God comes upon them. And brothers and sisters, still does today. It leaves a mark on you. You're not just a church member carrying your Bible, right? You are changed. There's something makes you act differently. It leaves a mark on you. And I want that mark. The devil's scared of it because he sees it. He cannot prevail against that mark. Or that seal. The Bible calls the seal of the Holy Ghost is also a name used for it. When God touches you, there's a mark, all right. And he walked. He limped from that day onwards. They said, why is Jacob limping? He fought with an angel. Why is a brother acting in such a wonderful way? He met an angel. He met the Lord Jesus Christ, changed his life. Jacob could not hide that mark that he had power with God. And that's exactly what happens. When the power of God comes on you, there's a mark on you and it's evident. You'll change. Your attitude's different. You're different. You're just full of the glory of God in your heart. You just love the Lord Jesus. Somebody criticizes you or says something against you, you just say, just pray for me, brother, sister, God will help me. You don't revile back. You don't fight back. You have peace with God. You've been in the presence of Almighty God. It changes you, makes you a new creature. And so we see that's how it was on the day of Pentecost. Let's read that Acts 2:13. Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." They thought those full of the Holy Ghost were drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." So let's hearken to what Peter's saying. "For these are not drunken as ye suppose." See, it was about the third hour of the day, the pubs are closed. That's what I thought of what he was saying. They didn't drink then. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. By the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you." Just so wonderful. He prevailed. I like that. Jacob prevailed with God. He had power with God. You think God could have just said, "No, I'm finished now." No, he couldn't. Because God recognizes that faith. He's got to honor that faith. So what is our mark today? When we receive the mark, it is also called the seal, as I said. We receive this mark when we have power with God and prevail. The seal has a mark on it. It shows ownership, that you belong to God. When you are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost, you are no longer belong to the world or to anything pertaining to the world. You are owned by God. You've got His mark on you. And it'll stay there. When God marks you, He never takes the mark off. It's there for good. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, Brother Tom? When He marks you, it's there for good. Sealed unto the day of your redemption. God puts that seal on you, or the mark, whatever you want to call it. It's there until the day of His redemption. You know, when they go into a railway carriage, you've heard it said, I used to go down to railways in the early days when we still had trains. And used to go and unload the carriage and whatever for the business I was working for. But what they did was when they load the carriage, they put all the goods into the carriage, and it was all packed tightly. They're very strict. They had it packed tightly. And then when that man who was responsible for the packing of the carriage was satisfied that everything was in order. When your life is in order, then He came and put a seal on the door and locked that. And that seal was not to be broken until it reached its destination. And that's what God does to you. When He puts a seal on your life, when He's satisfied that everything's in order, you're not trying to live for God and live for the world too. You're committed to Jesus Christ totally. He puts a seal on your life. He's satisfied that your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ is real. Then He'll seal you with the Holy Ghost. And the seal is permanent until He comes to take you home. Who's pleased? I think I've got about three answers. Who's pleased? I want the seal. It's nothing to do with being a pastor or a preacher or anything. It's to have the Holy Ghost seal on you. If you haven't got it, you need to really start seeking it, because time's running out. You remember the foolish virgins? They wanted to get the oil. That's the seal. Same thing, Holy Spirit, the mark, whatever you want to call it. And they went to get the Holy Spirit, and when they went to get the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Lord came and the door was shut. They came knocking, "Lord, Lord, open unto us."
He said, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Iniquity is a terrible thing when you know you shouldn't do something and God has shown you that and you refuse to do it. That is iniquity. May God help us all to be obedient to his word at all times. And when God's satisfied that you're a true believer, he'll seal you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, let it come, Lord. I'm going to speak on the baptism of the Holy Ghost sometime. There are 4 sermons. Very important. It's the most important subject right now. You need it. If you don't know it, you need it. We see this here is a quote here that the works of every person that's taken into the kingdom of God will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The seal of God in this last day is a distinction, a mark that you'll be put upon the people. And God sees the seal. God sees the mark. Like everyone could see Jacob limping around, God sees it also. And so does the devil. He cannot touch you when the seal's there. He can trouble you, but he can't do too much to you. Hallelujah. So time's running out, saints. We need to pray more than ever. Only those who press into God get anywhere with God. Only those that press into God get anywhere with God. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, I can't do it. That is nonsense. You can do it. Just get into the closet. Shut the door behind you. Jesus said, wait on the Lord. And that's what we need to do, is wait on him. Now, if you, of course, you're happy just as you are, just going living the life you live, a bit of this and a bit of that, I would say people live for God on Sunday and serve the devil on during the week. Don't want that life. You got to live clean before God. God sees what you're doing. You cannot hide from him. God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I want to be right. Who wants to be right? Brothers, just to be honest with God. See, he knows, when he sees a hand go up, he knows what's under that hand. Where the heart's corresponding with the hand going up. Lord, you know, Lord, I just got to be right with you. I've got to get this junk out of my life. I'm a two-timer. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. One minute I'm always for God and testifying to people, and the people turn around later, next day, look around, they see you living a life that's not godly. What an abomination. May God help us all. I want to read you the scripture just before we close here. It's found in Romans 8:33. It's a beautiful scripture. We talk about, can we do it? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If you have been by faith put under the blood of Jesus Christ and you're a believer, you are perfect in his eyes. And that perfectness is his righteousness. And you've got to have it to go to heaven. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Isn't that beautiful? He's making intercession for you this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, me,
You say, when I read this, I want you to put your me in there. Make it real. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Last of all, Jacob's experience affected men. Your experience is going to have an effect on people. You don't even have to preach, unless God calls you to preach, of course. But if you have been in the presence of the angel, he has sealed you and filled you with the Holy Ghost, it will have an effect on people. And Jacob's arch enemy, his own brother, when he saw him, his heart melted. And Jacob ran up, bowing down before him. See the humility it brings? He bowed down when he came before his brother Esau. He bowed down. Then he came and he bowed down again. When he got real close to him, he saw tears running down Esau's face. He was touched and he loved him. And instead of killing him, he embraced him. You see, brother and sister, when God, when you meet the angel, the Holy Spirit comes in, there's a power to be reckoned with. Just so wonderful, that story. I love it. Who wants that experience? So when we have that, we have power with God, it affects those around us. We don't come to church and carry our Bible a certain way. Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to this church. I go to that church. God doesn't care what church you go to. Have you met the angel? Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what matters. Oh, our church believes this. Our church believes that. What does that matter? Have you met the angel? Who loves him? Say amen. We do not have to try to convert them. They see the mark. They see the life in you. I've had people say to me, and I say this for his glory many times, something different about you. What is it? I want everyone to say that to me. They don't know, but they see the mark. And sometimes that mark goes through to the salvation of your family. That mark will affect your family. It's directly connected to us prevailing on God and getting through. They perceive, the disciples who are just little fishermen, they say they can hardly sign their own name. They perceived, everyone perceived they had been with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, Brother Tatu, it'll affect people that come in your presence. Well, honestly, not saying that they'll receive Christ, but they know that they're in the presence of a child of God. Directly connected to us, prevailing on God, we'll get through. The salvation of our family will be affected by your presence in the presence of the angel. They say, oh, Mum, I just want what you have. Dad, if I could just be like that, like you are. I mean, I go to church, but there's something missing. The missing is for the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And brother and sister, what we all need, and I say this as I close, I am closing. They all need to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now I said I'm going to bring a series of sermons on this, some of the scriptures laid out very clearly what we must do. They said that on the day of Pentecost, what must we do to Peter? Because they realized they'd crucified the Messiah. and nailed them to the cross. They realized what they'd done. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent. Every one of you repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive." Not maybe. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? Who wants the Holy Ghost? It's not just a nice feeling. It's life coming into you. I wonder if we could just seriously take an honest look at our lives today. Do people think you're being with Jesus? Do people notice a difference in you? You can't do it. It's being with the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, whatever way you want to put it. May the Lord help us all. I wonder if we could stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads and hearts to you right now, Lord. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you'd make what's been said a reality to every heart. It's not my word, it's your word. And you promise, Lord, that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Lord, if there's people here, I pray, Lord, that you would kindle the fire. Kindle the fire in their heart, Lord, to touch you and receive of that blessing. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would do it for everyone here, Lord, and those listening to us around the world. May they be a part of this blessing. I know there's people out there who will be crying out to you as I speak, because it's your word. Help us, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we sing this song, that will speak to our hearts in a special way. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm just praying that you'll do it for us for your glory. We're going to sing this song, which is really from what we've been speaking about, when Jacob met the Lord upon that lonely night up on the mountain. He wrestled there alone until the morning light. He won a priestly title to gird him for the right. I want that kind of blessing. I don't want any showmanship. I don't want any put on. You know, sometimes, and I say this respectfully, some churches had the Pentecostal, whatever they call it, and it doesn't ring right. They're all shouting and speaking in tongues, as they call it, and it may be, and it may be not. But the life's got to follow. If the life's come in, it won't be just called you to speak in tongues, have gifts, and they can be given to you, but it doesn't mean you're saved. It doesn't mean you've been filled with the Spirit yet. You may have an anointing. I want the real thing. Who wants the real thing? Lord, let it be. When Jacob met the Lord upon that lonely night, the rest along until the morning light. Won a priestly title to gird him for the right. I want that title. Oh yes, Lord, I want it. I want that title, the blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies the soul. Oh, I want that full salvation to win those from heaven. When Israel lost, came into Canaan's land, like all these riches gained, so full on every hand. They drove their foes before them and fell a happy man. Oh, I want that mind. Who wants that blessing? Oh, let's sing it. I want that mind. can just see Jacob up on the mountain. I can see Jacob singing this chorus, Nancy, when he said, "Oh, I want this blessing, angel. I want it." He said, "I've got to go. I'm not going to let you go until I receive it." Oh, you do. Yes. Who wants a blessing? You've got to be determined in your heart. I want that blessing. I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies your soul. I want that full salvation. Anybody want a blessing? You can come down the front here. If you really want that blessing, if you want us to pray for you, come down and we'll pray for you that you'll receive that blessing. I know there's people here hungry. God laid that on my heart. Praise be to God. We'd like to come, Brother Taz. We'd like to come with us. Pray with us, brother. Brother Harold, come and pray with us, brother. Any others? This is very serious. We're not playing church. We want the blessing. I just want it. Lord, I just want that blessing. I want you to come and fill me. You cleanse your heart before God. Repented of your sins. You shall receive that Holy Ghost infilling. Let's sing that chorus again as we pray. I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies my soul. I want that full salvation. Right through again from the first verse, when Jacob met the Lord. This is real. It's not just for the moment. It's when you go out the door and in your home, the people you meet, they need to see the difference. You can't make it happen, but you can desire it, and the Lord will make the decision. Let's sing, "When Jacob Met the Lord." When Jacob met the Lord upon that lonely night and wrestled there alone until the morning light, he won a touchstone prize from the Spirit and rose around.
To sing, He is Lord, He is Lord, and that's exactly who we want, the Lord Himself. So let's sing it reverently, just nice and quiet while people are praying. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord.
Jesus Christ is
mercy rewrote my life. That's the truth of my case, and I'm sure with a lot of you folks and you people that are watching on around the world, mercy rewrote our life. Let's sing it. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I have my soul cast down. Sing number 63, Shut In With God in the Secret Place, there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Shut in with God in the secret place, there in the Spirit. There'll be a satisfaction that comes in. You'll be able to see your mistakes, but God doesn't. If you are honest with Him from your heart and you make that decision to follow Him. I'm just going to pray now and thank the Lord for being here and for being with us this afternoon in the communion service. Please come to that if you can, because we should really have that communion, and there it's also we get shut in with God at the time. We thank the Lord for the food we're about to eat there as well today, and because of the time at this time, let's meet here again at 1:30 today, just for today, 1:30, not 1 o'clock, so we can have time to have lunch. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful. We know, Lord, that You've touched hearts. Lord, we've renewed our desire to come and meet with You. And Lord, Your desire for us is strong and always has been there. And since before we even born, You knew Your sons and daughters, who they were, where they were. But Lord, we just got to realize that when God is calling, we must answer. We must make a move. It's no good saying, oh, yes, Lord, that's a good idea, but we've got to do something about it. We all have to do Lord, thank you. Be with the people that are watching around the world at this service. Uplift them, encourage them. They're so much a part of us. We love them. We know that they love us. We are one family in different places, but we will be together when the Lord comes. Thank you, Lord, for the food that we're about to have and the fellowship. Be with us wherever we go. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just go out reverently as we go.